Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Well, school is upon America's children and their parents once again. Increasingly, we see the federal government seducing school districts to sign onto their schemes. The most recent is $500 million in grants to get parents to enroll kids into accredited pre-kindergarten programs. The early learning challenge is similar to the competitive grants from Race to the Top, and I believe is destined for failing to help our nation's school children. Few parents recognize the single most influential factor in their child's development is education. In the eyes of the government, the sooner the better parent puts their child into the public school system. And we're going to talk about some of the problems within the school system and how the government is actually hindering our children from learning in the schools and creating a very bad situation for the nation. My guest today is Beverly Ekman. She's retired from the Justice Department and the Bicentennial Commission on the U.S. Constitution, where she oversaw grant requirements and served as speechwriter. She began her career as a teacher in 1968. She left to become a science writer for a NASA contractor, then editor-in-chief of NASA's newspaper in Houston. Since her stints at Justice and the Commission, she has written 6 books, scores of feature articles and columns covering education policy, mental health, data trafficking, science, privacy, and political strategy. She most recently wrote a 7-part education series, which was printed on newamerican.com. Thanks, Beverly, for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And did I read that you were a speechwriter for a president?
For the former Chief Justice of the Supreme Court.
Chief Justice. Okay, I knew it was somebody way up there.
And also Voice of America director. So
okay.
I did both of those. And one person at the Justice Department, but it wasn't the director. It was the director of a bureau rather than the, you know,
the overall.
Mm-hmm.
You've been busy, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it actually, never stopped.
And I actually met you, I think it was back in 2004 in Pittsburgh when you came in to speak.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, I have an autographed copy of your book, Cloning of the American Mind.
Okay. Yeah.
You have been a very prolific writer. But we need that because so few people understand the dangers of the federal government's involvement in our public school system.
But it's morphing. That's the thing.
Yeah.
It just keeps right on morphing. I did a follow-on book, Walking Targets. And in the introduction and prologue, I had to update just the technology part. And it was astounding.
Yeah.
I didn't think you could go any further than what they'd already done, and yes, you can.
It's amazing. In fact, just recently, this was in Eastern Pennsylvania, I think it was in Montgomery. Yeah, it was in Montgomery County, where the schools lent laptops to the students.
Oh, yeah, that's part of the early learning challenge and the race to the top with Obama.
Right. Well, the thing with this, though, is that the school could turn on the webcams and spy on the students.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that's going to be part and parcel of the others. You know, a lot of the things that have been done in the past were pilot projects. And what they do is they get the bugs out.
Okay.
And then they go national.
Now, when I think of the federal government becoming involved in public education, I think of when the Department of Education was created, but it actually started before that.
Oh, yes.
And so give us some information on when it began and why.
Well, it really started under the old Office of Education when the whole education thing was under Health, Education, and Welfare. Now, that was not the cabinet. I mean, Health, Education, and Welfare was cabinet level, but the Office of Education was one of those sub-component agencies that in itself was not a cabinet-level agency. But they did plenty of damage back then because the people that were involved with the Office of Education were all what I call behaviorists, and that means psychologists.
Okay.
And they had a whole different agenda than pure educators. They were not interested in transmitting substantive knowledge.
No facts. We weren't concentrating on facts.
A few here and there, just enough to pass muster so they didn't get in too much trouble. But I found that they were doing as much as 50% personality testing even then, and they were dabbling in this and that. And some of the statements that I found by people, like deception in testing is okay if it's necessary to achieve an institution's goal. I mean, deception, come on. And they even admitted that it could be interpreted as entrapment, and several lawyers said the same thing. But parents didn't go to the mat. Even the parents that found out about it and found some of the questions, or their kids were, you know, good enough to remember some of the questions mm-hmm. and take them home, they didn't get it. They didn't press far enough because they were afraid their kid would be
ostracized. Right. Now, when you say that the deception in testing, is that like subjective questions or what?
Yes, very subjective.
Okay.
Very, very personal questions. In fact, I'm just about to write another article, and I incorporate something that was in the Washington Post from a guy named Justin Moyer, who answered very personal questions. I mean, some of them you couldn't even say on a family program.
Oh, my goodness.
And he answered those questions in good faith when he was 16, 17 years old. And now he's an adult and has moved three times and had three different journalistic careers. And he's still getting follow-up questionnaires. And then to find out, which I knew before, but he didn't, that the answers, there's no right or wrong answers mm-hmm. per se. It's just preferred answers. And the way you find that out is in the interpretive literature, but it's very hard to get, and I was lucky to get it. But
was this like, is this actually actual testing, or is it like some of those nosy questionnaires?
It's nosy questionnaires, okay. But see, what they're called is assessments.
If
you look at the name of every state test,
oh, yeah.
which is a clone of the federal, even the national test is called mm-hmm. National Assessment
right.
of Educational
That's
Progress.
That's what ours, absolutely.
So the word assessment is there for a reason, because it's not a test, and then they can't get kicked in
right.
the you-know-what.
Yeah, ours is a
yeah,
I was going to throw this. Ours is a Pennsylvania State Systems Assessment. That's what it is. It's PSSA.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that is the after, that's the new incarnation of the Educational Quality Assessment in Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
which was the first one I saw, and that was in 1986, I think, or 7. And it was around since 1984, but I saw it in 86. And boy, did I get a load. I mean, it was 61%. When I counted it, all the questionnaires up, I had the three grade levels. And it was 61% personality profile.
So what do they think they're doing? I mean, we're supposed to be sending our kids to school to learn facts and figures so that they can get a good job when they get out or go on to college if that's what they want to do. But
well,
yet they're asking personal questions, you know, nosy questionnaires and subjective questions that really are not substantive. What's the intention of doing this?
The intention is to change viewpoints.
Okay.
It is a totally political agenda, and in 1981, a paper was put out by the National Institute of Education, which has since, they always change names.
Mm-hmm.
Every time a sub-agency gets a black eye, then they change
the
name.
They change the name and pretend they've gone away.
Yeah, exactly, but
mm-hmm.
they never do.
Right.
And I got the galleys on this before it was even printed, and I was really lucky to get that, too. And it was Archie LaPointe and Willard Wirtz who wrote that paper, and it was under the auspices of the Department of Ed when it was first formed, because even though it was formed in 1976, it really didn't get up and running until 1980. So here it is in 1981, and they're putting out this paper called "The Quality, Measuring the Quality of Education," and they said right up front that they were changing the old concept of substantive knowledge to functional literacy.
Functional
in
literacy.
In other words, excellence was going away, and they said excellence was going away.
So they're trying to put everyone on an equal plane where everyone is just functionally literate.
Right.
In
other words, give them just
enough.
The bare bones, and if they get it, fine. If they don't get it, that's fine, too, because the real agenda was changing attitudes.
And thus changing the culture.
Right. And now it is a Dundee.
That's the major thrust because our schools have become institutions of social change.
That's exactly it. And you can see it in the culture. I mean, the kinds of behaviors that you see now are unheard of in previous eras.
Yeah. And this is because the schools have created activist in some cases.
Well, it's not just activists. They've created little anarchists and little socialists. And if you keep turning out one grade after another, I mean, every graduating senior, if they bother to graduate, the graduation rate still isn't any better than it ever was. In fact, it's worse. Every new class of 18-year-olds, let's just say it that way, is more socialistic, leftist, and ignorant than the last.
Yeah.
And if you do that long enough,
they're going to become the leaders in the nation. The nation's going to become a socialist country.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to implode is what's going to happen.
Yeah, true.
Our jobs are overseas for a reason. Mayor Bloomberg in New York and, let's see, there was two other big marketing marks. Trying to remember their name. It'll come to me in a minute. They came out with an article this year. I mean, well, only 2 months ago, actually. And they said they were looking for the talent overseas. And what they hoped is that these immigrants would come and hire the unemployables here and fix our job problem.
That is so, I mean, the unemployable, unemployable here because or thanks to the public education system.
Right.
Who just wants to churn out people.
They didn't say that. They didn't say that.
No, they didn't say that, but that's the way it is.
That's the way it is. I mean, it was a real indictment of the education system, and they didn't even say it that way. But everybody knew it. It was Bloomberg and a former rep from Michigan and somebody else. It'll come to me. I mean, they all three joined forces
saying that. Yeah, but yet I can't believe that they don't know that the education system is the problem.
Oh, they know.
But they like what is happening, or they just, I don't understand their...
Well,
I don't know.
Business people don't like what is happening that way, but the powers that be that want a socialist nation, you always get a more socialist nation the more entitlement programs you have and the more ignorant people become. And that's what they want. Now, the intelligentsia, and of course there's always some that are going to learn in spite of the system, they get special programs, but they're very tainted. All when I say programs, I'm talking curriculum now, and that's tremendously tainted with leftist, you know, garbage. You can read in the books that that's the way it is. And one guy that I'm writing about right now, his name is Pascal Forgione, and he was with the Department of Ed, National Center for Education Statistics, and he's been around the block. He knows everything, and he's had so many positions in the education department, and he knows everything about the computer systems, including the non-secure stuff, and everything about how it works. And he finally came clean and said, you know, our idea of advanced is not even close to international standards.
His standards,
And so he just lambasted from one end to the other, and he even said that we have social goals and social engineering going on. He quoted gobs of people. He showed graphs and everything in a speech. I think the speech was in Pennsylvania, too, but I could be wrong on that. Because what happened is that it appeared on the Internet. It went, well, viral.
You're right.
But they took it off. The education department did not.
Didn't like it.
During the, Clinton administration, did not renominate him because of that speech. And he had done everything under the sun previously in other speeches that I read that are on there, still connected, to, you know, hype the education department and what a great job it was doing and the National Center for Education Statistics and all that stuff and say what great job they were doing, including their all their invasive computer systems.
So
now suddenly he came, you know, I guess he got fed up and said with one speech, and the word speech is hyperlinked, and it'll say this has now been removed.
Oh, been removed, okay.
But then somebody went and printed it. What they didn't give is the exact place and year, but I found it somewhere and put it down. So it's real hard to find.
Because they want to cover it up.
Oh, yeah, and they admit that it was once up. They just say it. We've taken it down.
Right, right. You know, so you know, I thought that Well, actually, when I was still in school, I graduated in 72, I could see changes even as a student in the education system, especially how they dealt with history, especially the founding fathers, or did not deal.
Oh, yeah.
But then when we had kids, and our oldest son, it was in fifth grade, he had to learn the multiplication tables. And each night he was expected to take 15 minutes to practice at home, and we as parents were to sign off that he had actually done that. But by the time, 9.5 years later, when our youngest son was in fifth grade, that was, you know, went through five kids, and then our youngest was in fifth grade, he didn't have to.
Yeah, it was not the push. Well, they say calculators are there, so why bother?
Yeah.
They don't have to know anything off the top of their head.
Yeah.
And that's what, and it gets more and more, that's what I mean, it's morphing, morphing, morphing.
Yeah.
And it's getting more and more watered down, and what they're doing now is they are, and if that's going to happen this year, to merge the national assessment with the only international or national, any kind of standard substantive, knowledge-based, intellectual test. And that's the TIMMS, which is Third International Math and Science Study. And they,
is that from the United Nations? Do you know?
Yeah. That one isn't. This one's old.
Oh, okay.
And it's been around the block a while, but because it made us look so bad every year, putting us almost at the bottom after Slovenia.
You're kidding. After Slovenia. Oh, my goodness.
And a lot of times they don't put in all the countries that it really covers, because especially the Asian countries, because then we really look horrible.
Oh, even worse. Oh, yeah.
But and Dr. Forgione said so. He said, look at this graph or this table. The Asian countries are not there. And he was right. So anyway, this test, they talk Europe somehow into merging the test with the NAEP, National Assessment, so that they can water it down and put all these touchy-feely things in. And so now, I don't know if the TIMSS is going to stay around or not, but I suspect that it will be in a different form because, let's face it, Europe is in the pocket of the United Nations, too.
So we're headed that direction quickly, too.
Right, and so are we. So that means that talking them into it would not have been real hard.
Right.
And I am surprised to see that they are taking that test away, because it is so well known. I mean, even among knowledgeable parents that have, you know, got PhDs and things like that, they know about it. But they're going to do it anyway because the parents didn't go to the mat when they should have.
When they should have. And they continue not doing. I know when in the 90s, which I thought, naive me, thought that was the beginning of the major push under Bill Clinton, Bill and Hillary Clinton, with the major push with outcome-based education.
Right.
Because it was an uproar at that point, and, you know, educators were saying, well, but all education is out-based, you know.
Well, actually, it was Dr. Shaver, and he put this comment in ERIC, the big education system, that said, there is a knowledge element of every piece of information. Therefore, we can go ahead and call it a belief system, and we're going to change the definition of cognitive. So that was in the 80s.
Yeah.
So by the time Bill and Hillary got there, you know, they were just continuing on. And, of course, outcome-based education is still there. It just has a different name.
Exactly, a different name. So many times that's exactly what happened. They continue with their agenda. When their agenda is exposed and there's a major uproar, they pretend to give up on what they're pushing. But they just changed the name, and there's under a different title. And unfortunately, parents tend to go home and get back to their lives.
That's it. Plus, let's face it, parents are young. I mean, they don't know how it was 25 or 30 years ago.
They can't compare.
They can't compare that. I mean, they could if they got online and went through the kind of hours that I spend on this.
Yeah.
But I'm a professional researcher.
Right.
A parent just wants to see their little kid with a backpack sweetly going to school.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they maybe sweetly go to school in first, second, and third, and fourth grade, and then they're wearing fishnet hose and four-inch heels and,
padded bras and the rest. Yeah. And I do not think that parents understand the influence that a school has on their child.
Well, they're spending more time in school than with their parents
because
of all the extracurricular activities that are now demanded as a prerequisite for getting into a decent college or job.
Right.
So because of that, they're, you know, carting their kids all over the place, but basically it's still school.
Yeah. And it's in their permanent record as to what they participated in.
That's right.
Now, how can parents, I think one of the main things parents need to do is attend school board meetings, but then you have to interpret what the school board members are saying and what those really mean, their language.
Well, actually, that's why I wrote the book, How to Counter Group Manipulation Tactics, because I was giving seminars. In fact, I'm about to give another one in Ohio, all over the country, just because of what you said. Parents don't know, and they need to know how to recognize these lead-in phrases when they hear them.
Right.
And so I was going all over the country giving these workshops and seminars, and it was hands-on and all this.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, you know, people were madly taking notes and everything, and I thought, you know, this isn't going to work. So I need to, well, I mean, it was working, but, you know, they can't go home and do anything. So I wrote this manual, and it has tests in it and everything, so that parents wouldn't have to take notes. They could pay attention to what I was doing and what the workshop instead of madly
What's it called again?
How to Counter Group Manipulation Tactics. It's on my website.
Okay. And what is your website?
Oh, www.beverlye.com. That's Beverly with an extra E on it. .com.
Okay.
Or you can just put in Beverly Ekman, it'll come up.
Right.
And it's under Bev's Books, I think.
Okay.
There's tabs, you know. Everybody has tabs.
Okay.
And
everyone's
you just hit Bev's Books and it'll come up with all the other stuff.
You know, the U.S. has spent billions of dollars on education right now. And, of course, there's the major debate going on of how they can reduce spending because we're... above our heads in debt as a nation.
Yeah.
But yet they keep spending money. We have this, you know, this newest Obama initiative, the Early Learning Challenge, encouraging parents to get their child into pre-kindergarten programs.
Yep. Get those kids away from
Right. And too many parents are, you know, a lot of times there's two parents working. Both parents are working just to try to survive, make the house payments and pay the taxes or pay the rent or whatever. And parents are busy and it's very easy for them to forget, or it's very enticing for a parent to think, wow, child care.
Yeah.
Free child care.
Tax-supported child care.
Yeah.
That's what you've got, but you've got a lot more going in there.
Oh, yeah.
Than tax-supported child. You would not believe. Actually, there's a place on my website to go to a speech that I gave for Vital Speeches of the Day. It's the only one with vital speeches. I mean, I've been in there four times. It's very hard to get in. You can't even submit your own work. Somebody else does.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. And I got Speech of the Month on this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put it up on my site, too, and you can click on it, and you have to go scroll down. But you will see the kinds of questions when one-way mirrors and all the stuff they're doing with kids. And even
if a
parent, like a father, doesn't participate, and then they're, you know, checking to see how your interaction is. I can just see my parents' attitude to that. They would have had a hissy fit.
Oh, yeah. Mine too.
A hissy fit. And then they're asking all these very personal questions. And so what I do is zoom in on some of the questions. I got hold of the booklet and everything that they... And then it jumps out at the audience. So actually they put this on the online version so that it would jump out at people. And then, of course, there's the print version of Vital Speeches, which has been around for years.
Yeah. Now, do you think there's any hope for the public school system, or should parents take their kids out?
Right now they should get their kids out.
Okay.
I mean, yes, there's a way to do this. There is a way to fix it. And I have written about that several times, too. In fact, the last segment of that seven-part series, it's in there.
Okay.
But that's
on newamerican.com. Yeah.
That one is important because that's how to fix it.
Absolutely.
But you're not going to do it in a day.
No. Or a year or a decade.
That's right.
And it's taken.
Right now, what you need to do is either homeschool. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't have patience for that, even if they had the time and the money, or start going to private school, but you've got to interview them as much as they interview you, or you could wind up with the same type situation, same curriculum.
It's
better than nothing because you have smaller class size.
Right. And really, I homeschooled our last two kids, and it is difficult. It is time consuming. But there's so much good material out there.
Oh, there really
and
is
it's not,
now.
You know, it's not as expensive as private school.
And private school is gone. The same school that my parents paid $600 a year for in the 50s and early 60s is now $23,000 a year.
Oh,
nobody's salary has gone up like that.
No. Wow.
And that's why they're called, exclusive schools. There was nothing exclusive about it. Secretaries sent their kids there. Public school teachers, some of them, sent their kids there because they knew for a fact that the public school system was becoming chaotic and everything.
Yeah.
But now it is this horrible price, and that's not the beginning of what you have to pay. You're expected to give to the annual fund. You're expected to give to this, give to that, give to something else. By the time you're through, if you have, like, say, five kids, you multiply it'll be $25,000 by the time you're through, of giving all this extra stuff, and multiply that times five kids, it's undoable.
That's a bundle
unless
of
you're
money.
Nancy Pelosi making $480 million a year.
Yep.
Her family makes, husband and wife.
Yeah.
They have that kind of money.
Yeah,
the Kennedys and so forth.
Yeah.
So those are the only people who can afford this sort of thing.
But unfortunately, they're the ones who make it policy for the rest of us.
For the rest of
America's kids. Give us your website again and how folks can contact you.
It's Beverly E. .com.
Okay.
Beverly E, no spaces, .com. And then there's a little button there for email.
For email, okay. Hey, thanks so much for all the research you do and the hard work you do to educate parents on the dangers of the public school system. Because so many just send little Johnny or little Janie off on the school bus and wave goodbye to them in the morning and then not realizing their kids are being transformed in that brick building they're sending them to.
That's absolutely right. I mean, they wind up with a child they don't know.
Yep. And then they wonder
why. So thank you.
Well, hey, keep up the good work.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in defending traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA at Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, 16323. Or visit their website at afafpa.org. The views expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views of American Family Radio, Lighthouse Ministries of Franklin, AFA, and AFAFPA.